Sorry, there's no room for you here. We just don't have space. I would totally let you join, but, you know.
Tiger. Can't sit here.
Words like this are gut-wrenching, and each of us knows what it feels like to be on the outside or feel like there is too much hassle to make space for us or for someone to move over, right? This is where Mary and Joseph were in the scripture reading today. They had been traveling to return back to Joseph's hometown for a census to be taken so that appropriate tax rates and accounting can happen. This was a government-mandated trip away from work, and the normal rhythms of life weren't there. It was also a trip that Mary was making while she was getting ready to have her child. So the long and short of it is, it was no vacation. And so they roll into town, and we hear that there is no room for them in the inn. And we often look to Joseph and think, you know, he forgot to call ahead, and there's no room for him at the Red Roof Inn. There's nobody keeping a light on for them at the Motel 6. Come on, Joseph. You messed up. That's a pretty Western 21st century vision of what's going on here, so let's pull back. The scene was likely more different than thinking that they were just bumping along the strip on their donkey and seeing no vacancy signs for miles, right? They were likely going to stay with somebody from Joseph's family, and there was no space left for the couple. Maybe because they forgot. Maybe because, you know, they arrived late, or maybe the religious laws at the time would have made it so that the Holy Family was relegated to the equivalent of some shed out back so that they didn't make everyone else in the house unclean and therefore not able to participate in the religious life that was so important in the day. You know, but this scene is more akin to the opening scenes from Home Alone, like the original one, where Kevin McAllister, the main character, is overlooked, underappreciated, and undervalued as the family is getting ready for a trip. He's seen to be too young or in the way and not bringing enough to the table. And so he's even kicked out of his own room so that his grandmother can have a bed, and he ends up on a hide-a-bed somewhere with his cousin who often wets the bed. Doesn't sound fun, right? He's overlooked. There's not space for him. He's overlooked so much so that when the family leaves him home alone, the viewer feels so bad for him that then we excuse the monstrous things that he does to the bandits that are trying to rob the family home. The bottom line for Kevin and for the Holy Family is that all of those around them seem to be focused on the mechanics of the day, and they're not making space for the essence of the occasion of why they are together and making the most of it. And so the question that we're going to wrestle with and explore today is, are we open to being inconvenienced by the insignificant? In this season, excuses not to make space come often and easily. I think about how many times someone just needs a little extra time and we can't be bothered. Maybe you're running around trying to get things set for work while making dinner, while packing lunches, and everything just keeps stacking up. And that total load theory of a small voice asking for a little bit more of your time, or your partner who needs to sit and have conversation, or a stranger at the store is just looking for a little assistance finding the right thing. And how many times are we quick to ensure that we are not inconvenienced? And yet this season of Advent is all about going out of our way and making room. It's about creating space for the possibility of new life. Church, think about it. Mary, 8 months pregnant, is leaving home for what was a government-mandated survey, leaving her support system of Elizabeth, who would have acted as her birth coach, and I am sure there were some nesting habits going on in their house, and they were getting ready for the baby Jesus. And now they have to go? This was more than an inconvenience. And yet for the vast majority of us, God is just asking us to be open to the possibility of being inconvenienced by that which we see as insignificant. open to changing our path to seeing something that could be so easily missed by the masses. As I think about those who are willing to be inconvenienced, I've also been catching up on my Star Wars viewing. And so I've been catching up on the second season of The Mandalorian, the series about the bounty hunter who has been charged with delivering the child to a Jedi. Simple, right? And yet, time and time again, he could have chosen to leave the child, Baby Yoda, Grogu, whatever you want to call him. He could have left him, this insignificant child. And at some point, he must have thought that this wasn't worth it. And yet the Mandalorian was open to changing. And in turn, is beginning to change himself. He's inconvenienced by the insignificant. And the crazy part about God is that when we are open to being inconvenienced by the insignificant, we are more able to fully encounter the incarnation. We see God in the flesh more fully. We see our own incarnation more fully too. We're better able to see our personal potential when we make space to be inconvenienced. And so how are you over the next 2 weeks going to make space? What real physical, mental, and schedule things are you going to do to make space for the Christ child? Physically, it might look like you set up an Advent wreath or an Advent calendar or share stories with your family. Maybe you tell the stories of the ornaments on your tree. We notice when one of our friends or little ones needs just a little extra time, right? Mentally and spiritually, we can spend time in God's Word reading the story of Jesus' birth or going on a prayer walk to clear our head and be available just to listen for God. When we make margin in our calendar where we are in a culture right now that so easily just erases all boundaries because we're always available through the internet and Zoom and Google and Meet and virtual learning and all that stuff, right? What happens if we just set aside and schedule time, space to listen to God, to feel the nudge, to take time to help a stranger, to make allowances to be inconvenienced by those little things that seem so insignificant, but they change our day and perspective for so much longer. I know it feels like making space means dropping other things, but in my experience, when I've been open to letting Jesus in, the light of the world illuminates more of who I am called to be, and I see more clearly my potential. I realize that some of the things that I dropped when I was making space for Jesus, I don't even need to pick up again. Even though the rest of the world might cast off the light of the world to a food trough, Mary and Joseph made space where they were. Their lives were inconvenienced and interrupted so that new life could enter into the world. And we have this incredible opportunity to make space in a year that's already jumbled and inconvenienced and uncertain on a daily basis. And so if we take time to make space now, it could change how we move into this next season of life and mark it by hope and community rather than isolation and anxiety. We've all been blessed by the way that Mary and Joseph made space. And so the question is, will you be open to being inconvenienced by the insignificant so that you might be a blessing to others too? Let's pray. Wonder-working God, we give you thanks for the way in which you call us to participate in the way that you are changing this world, to be a light in dark places, and for ways in which we can make space for the things that seem insignificant but will turn out to mean the most. God, in all that we do and all that we are, may we be mindful in this Advent season of the power of making space for you in our physical lives, in our relational and spiritual lives, and especially in our calendars in this season. Amen.